It takes a gift of prophecy to spot something not in the ordinary. You see, just as in this case, you see, Elisha the prophet knew this man was supposed to be healed. Now, he wasn't an Israelite. He may not even have been a monotheist. But God had decided to heal him. And this man knew it. And so he sent him. Now, this big shot general had to do what he was told by this strange fellow, you know. But he did it. Then you have the same thing here with Elisha, right? There was this big famine, you know the story, and then the Lord sent him over to live with this widow and her son. And I think there's something there that's important for us. It takes a prophetic gift to see the work of God outside our structures. You know, as I was sitting there, I was thinking of Gandhi, Tagore, you know, all these people who were very noble, very courageous. Gandhi, you know, fasted, then he went on that famous salt march. I guess you all know about Gandhi a lot. I used to study about him a lot. Oh, 100 years ago now. But the point is, do we have a heart that is so sensitive that we can see God at work wherever it is? Or are we sort of constricted by the structures? Now, the structures are important. There's no doubt about that. They're very important. But God is not bound by them. And it takes sometimes a prophetic gift to see where God is at work and rejoice. And rejoice in it. I used to be quite involved when I had the post down there at the JP2, in those days, Cultural Center. We had these interfaith dialogues, Muslim-Christian. And I remember I called this guy Zeki, a Muslim professor in upstate New York someplace. And he said, "Francis, you just got me. I was just leaving the door." And I said, "Zeki, my guardian angel told your guardian angel to keep you there till I could call you." He said, "Absolutely right, Francis." And I pray for him, you know. I'd love him to know Jesus in this life. You know, I remember, because sometimes they get very, these good men, you know, there's some violent people too, and well, they're violent. There's a couple of Christians that are violent too, you know. So we had another meeting there, and I told them about this mason over in Jerusalem. The wall at the École Biblique needed some fixing, and they hired this mason who was a Muslim. And whenever the mezzine sounded, and he was right across the street, this man would unroll his rug and pray. And I said, there was no doubt in my mind that the Holy Spirit was on that man. And those men in the dialogue were so touched, and I was just saying what seemed to me to be obvious, you know. What I'm trying to say is we have to stay alert to where the Lord is moving and move. How many of these pro-life people, you know, get it, but they're not Christian? Most of them are, but not all. In other words, the Lord is using this example here, you see. If you're too ordinary, you're not accepted. Jesus goes back to his own hometown. And they say, who does this guy think he is? I mean, we know. He used to live right down the street. Who's this guy preaching to us? We do that. You know, we have to be sensitive to the truth wherever it is. And when we are, the Lord can guide us. It's very interesting, too, if you notice. See, Aram and Israel were like long-standing enemies. I don't know any other way to put it. But it wasn't just like every day. That little girl said, you know, in my country there's a man who could heal him. So the king said, go down and get healed. Sent down all these presents and so forth, you know. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that we have to have a heart that hungers and thirsts for the manifestation of God. And hungers and thirsts that people know the Lord. And when we see glimmers of it, or like with my friend Zeki, really, he was a Sufi, you know, he was a very devout Muslim. Rejoice in that. They are being moved by Christ and they don't know it. And we know him. And then, are we moved by him? What's moving us? And so these people got so mad they were going to kill Jesus. They took him out to throw him off the cliff. Because the different. I remember before Catherine Daugherty founded these, like Madonna House, she was the organizer of those, they're not famous anymore, but I forgot the name of it, lecture series. And she had Tagore, you know, the famous poet from India, come over to give a talk. And she said to him, when are you going to become a Christian? He said, when are you going to become a Christian? And so it's, so we should today, when we get a chance, you know, pray. Pray that God stir up many people and that they come to know Jesus.